And we're in finally. Oh yeah, actually, the very first thing I want to discuss. I met DJ Premier yesterday.
You know what,
Bruv,
right?
let me just hold on. I met DJ Premier yesterday. My life is completed. I've completed DJing now. I don't give a fuck what anyone else says. I've done it all. I've completed DJing because I met DJ Premier. I had a photo with him.
You know what, right? I'm gonna throw something wild in this, right? When I saw that, and then obviously we're gonna be talking about it today, I sat there and was like, I don't even know who DJ Premier is. I had to Google. Maybe it's an age thing. I don't know. Maybe it's I haven't been in the game for that long. I was like,
I'm gonna keep it 100 with you, my bro.
on.
CB, I like you, bro. My guy. I like you a lot, bro, but you're lucky we're not recording in the same room right now.
You got like, can you fill me in or fill in the listeners? Because
DJ Premier is easily, without a shadow of a doubt, top
I
two hip hop producers of all time. And he's not second place. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm clearly out the loop because
No,
yeah,
so
when
D, I mean, I get it actually, because to be honest, like, it's one of them things like DJ Premier, he's not one of like what I would call like an on-trend producer. Do you know what I mean? He's a guy that made classics. He's a guy, let me just reel some off for you. He's a guy that made Notorious B.I.G., Ten Crack Commandments. He
Oh,
made Anti Up for MOP. He made, oh, now I'm on the spot, you know.
okay.
Actually, I wanna make sure that my knowledge is way up there. He's basically also like my love for Premier started because when I used to skate, I used to listen to a duo called Gangstar. Now they're like what I would call like proper hip, like real hip hop. Do you
Real
know what I mean?
hip-hop,
Like that
yeah.
real rap, real hip hop. And DJ Premier was half of Gangstar.
I think that's what I saw when I had a little Google. I did see that Gangstar. But yeah,
Yeah, so
so
Gangstar and like for like real hip hop fans that love like their 90s hip hop, like Gangstar foundations. Do you know what I mean? And so like for me, it is like a proper
Big thing. Yeah, I bet you're
Nostalgia thing, man. This guy made he made the soundtrack to my teenage years skating. Do you know what I mean? Okay, so yeah, actually, I didn't know he made this one. Nas, NY State of Mind, he produced that. Anything Gangstar produced, came from DJ Premier. I'm just actually looking through the list now. He made
Let's see.
Unbelievable for Biggie.
What do you? Let's see. You see, you're a big, big old school hip hop head, isn't it? So
I love
me,
90s hip hop, man. I do love 90s hip hop. And but look, the guy's discography goes back years. I think this guy's been producing hip hop for like 40 years now. Do you know what I
Jesus
mean? Like
Christ.
he's like, I mean, he's what you would call an old school hip hop producer, but he's so solidified, you can't even call him old school. He's just foundation. Friend or Foe, Jay-Z. I'm literally just firing off a couple that I'm coming across in this list because this list is massive. Kick in the Door by Biggie, as well as Ten Crack Commandments. Let's have a look. He's, you know what? There's just so many in here. People that want to know who DJ Premier is. Oh, actually, a random one as well. I forgot he produced this. Do you remember Limp Bizkit? They made a track with Method Man called End Together Now. And I used to fucking love that song. I forgot he made that. And also, yeah, Big L. This is another thing. I actually just reminded myself of all this stuff. Big L, who's one of my favorite rappers. A lot of his stuff was made by DJ Premier as well. Now, here's the random thing, yeah. Yesterday, so the context of it was I was DJing in Nike Town. And I was just DJing and I was changing the track. At this point, I was playing some Afro beats and that. And I was just changing the track. And I looked up and there was three guys stood about 3 meters away from the DJ box, and one of them was just watching me, basically. And he had a cap on, and I straight away recognized his face. And then, like, 2 seconds later, my brain registered, like, that's DJ Premier. And I had a fanboy moment. I'm not even ashamed. I'm not even embarrassed. Like, I this is hip hop royalty stood right in front of me, bro. So I was just, I was like, wow. And I said, I was like, come here, come. And he walked over to the booth, and I was like, bro, I am such a big Gangsta fan. Can I have a photo, please? Oh, and he was like, yeah, man, that's cool. And then he chatted to me, like, very, very briefly, asked how long I was DJing for and all of that. And I'm not even going to lie, I'm very fortunate in the sense that I'm around celebrity rappers and celebrity music people a lot.
Yeah.
Haven't been starstruck for a very, very long time. But yesterday, mashed potato, bro. I was just like,
mashed potato.
Mashed potato, mate. Like, I was just like, it's the, in my head, all I'm just thinking is I'm stood next to DJ Premier.
Yes, because it obviously brought back childhood memories for you, innit? Like you said, if you listen to that stuff, like you must have just thought, bloody hell.
Yeah, the nostalgia, man. Absolutely crazy. So yeah, big moment for me yesterday. I met DJ Premier. And yeah, very, very sick. But yeah, good, like for people that actually really want to know, I'm still scrolling through this list. Like, Google what DJ Premier has produced, and you'll see the levels. Like,
yeah, go do your research. Don't be like me. When Double starts to talk to me about it, I have no idea.
Yeah, or like me, I'm still gassed now, bro, which is why I can't recite every single song that he's produced. I should know way more than I should off the top of my head. But yeah, it's crazy. He's got a, right. Let me put that away because it's distracting me. Crazy list. So yeah, I now can retire from DJing. A very, very happy guy because I met DJ Premier. So I've completed it now. Thanks for having me.
DJ's completed. Sweet.
It's done. Who would be your, like, holy shit, I've got a photo with person?
I'm a massive Chris Brown fan. Massive Chris Brown fan. Okay. So if you're going artist, DJ wise, EZ probably.
EZ. I'm talking like absolutely no shame. You're having a fanboy moment. Like, you'll fight past people to get a photo type thing.
Chris Brown. I don't even care.
Pushing all the girls aside.
Honestly.
Get away.
Honestly, I've been listening to Chris Brown since his first album, mate. Massive Chris Brown fan.
Good times.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone else really. Like, yeah, like I think most people would say, like, I don't know, Drake or someone else. I'd just be like, yeah, Chris Brown. Massive fanboy moment.
Yeah, you know, I highly rate Drake, but I'm not like,
oh my God, Drake.
Even with Drake, it's not a case of like, I need to do anything I can to secure a photo with him. Like, I think I've told this story before, but like, I was at an event. It was like, it was his tour rap party in Amsterdam when he finished the Assassination Vacation tour. Mm. And it was like, there was only a couple hundred people there. It was very intimate settings. And it was like, Drake was just bouncing around chatting to people. And he actually saw me and my friend that I was with and started coming over. But like, even in my head, I wasn't like, oh, sick. Drake, like he made eye contact and he was walking over. So he was coming to have a conversation.
Mm.
I wasn't like, shit, where's my phone? I need to make sure I secure a photo. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like, he was just coming over. So it was like, okay, cool. And then funnily enough, he got to about two steps away from me and someone stopped him. Some guy stopped him and was like, oh, Drake, can I have a photo? Yeah. And he was like, no, we're not doing that in here. And then he changed direction and went and sat down in like, he had this like little secure part in the party where all these sofas were and a big projector where he was watching his basketball team play. Yeah. And he went and just sat down there out the way of everyone because this one guy asked for a photo.
Oh, but, imagine I was you in it. Imagine you're the one that.
Well, yeah. Imagine I'm the one that ruins Drake's party asking for a photo. But no, there's certain settings you just know, innit? There's certain settings when you can do the fanboy thing and ask for photos, and when it's not photo time. And that party, no one had their phones out. No one was doing up Snapchats and Instagram stories. Look who I'm with. I'm with Popcorn and all this. Like, it was just vibes. It was just people having a good time, and And yeah, but I mean, even then I wasn't like, oh shit, I really hope I get a picture. We was just having fun at a party. So no, but if DJ Premier was in the party,
yeah,
I legit would have been like, fuck the rules, I'm taking photos. Like, I don't care, I'm taking a photo with this guy. Like, for real. So, yeah. But yeah, EZ's a good shout. He's definitely, he is the people's DJ.
Yeah, honestly. He's just still about, still doing the madness, all these festivals, man.
Yeah, like, crazy.
And he's still just doing it on CDJs. Like, he doesn't
still
use...
old school garage.
old school garage, still using, yeah, just using USBs. Doesn't even touch anything like Serato at all.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Beautiful segue here. Talking of Serato, breaking news for anybody that hasn't been on social media yet today. Breaking news is that, what's the parent company called? Alpha Theta, I think it's
Alpha
called.
Alpha Theta, yeah, Alpha Theta.
Alpha Theta, basically the people that own Pioneer, manufacture Pioneer, produce Pioneer, whatever you want to say. Pioneer, basically, have bought Serato.
Yeah. I'm baffled. I saw this morning, and yeah. I'm just like, what? Like, is this a... Like, obviously, it's a good thing because it's happened, but it's like, what does this mean now, innit? Because,
yeah,
first of all, it's like we can get rid of just the record box only controllers and the Serato controllers, because I know a lot of DJs that's bought a record box controller by accident, tried to use Serato and they can't use it. That should hopefully go away now. But it's like, now Serato have more money to even put towards the software, so like the possibilities are endless. I mean, there's so much that can happen with it, so it'd be exciting to see, but we need to kind of like get someone on to talk about it,
because... Yeah, so I'm gonna actually reach out to Blakey to discuss it once, like, the news, by the way, if you're listening, you might be listening next Wednesday, the news, you might be listening in 6 months' time, the news broke this morning, so there's very, very little details about how it's going to work, what it is, what I'm actually interested to know how much the acquisition was as well, but yeah, there's very, very little information out there. I've been reading, even Blakey himself actually said this morning that he doesn't have details. He just knows that Alpha Theta have acquired Serato. So it now means, yeah, Pioneer owns Serato. Mixed feelings. Like, apparently Serato will still continue to operate as a separate entity.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know how it works with Record Box now. Like, I don't know. Are they going to continue with both things? Are we, as like the people that use it, are we even going to notice a difference? Or is it just going to be a case of new products with more functionality? Does it mean that Rain are now on the outside of the gang? Like, yeah, they have to go and sit on a different lunch table now. They can't eat with the big boys. Do you know what I mean? Because if I'm Pioneer, and now I own Serato, sorry, Rain, you can't have our technology. Like, you can't make these Serato mixers anymore because we're the mixer guys. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's a case of acquiring certain things, and now the competition has no access. Because let's face it, Serato is the market leader when it comes to DJ software. I'd say Record Box is probably a close second. Tractor maybe third, Virtual DJ maybe fourth, and all the other ones, fifth, sixth, and 100th. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah. Respectfully, disrespectfully, they're all irrelevant. Like, there's four main ones that are used, isn't it? So now Serato have the first top two.
Yeah.
What does it mean, like, for the rest?
It's just like, I don't understand. You know what? I'm so interested because I just don't know how this, because yeah, are they going to sell the software separately? Is there going to be like a joint? They're going to make one big software with both functionalities in it? Because Record Box and Serato, we've been competing against each other for so many years, isn't it? Like, there's always that debate, what's better, Record Box or Serato?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, what's going to happen? Like, this just stresses me out because I need to know what it all means. I've been studying Serato for so long. Now, there's a whole new...
So there's a tactic that record labels use. When they have a certain artist, so they'll sign an artist and they have a plan and they have a rollout for that artist. And then what happens sometimes is another artist might pop up, like an independent artist might pop up that actually potentially threatens the original artist's campaign rollout in some way, shape, or form. So what the label might do is they might then sign the other artist as well.
Mm-hmm.
And artists occasionally are not smart enough to see the bigger picture, and they'll see a big fat check. Cool, what you want? You're going to give me 250 grand for two songs? Yeah, I'll take that. Boom. Yeah. Now they're in a record. Now they're in a deal with the label, but they get put on the shelf and they can't release their two songs because the label want their original guy to push through and break the charts, etc., etc., etc. I mean, this could potentially happen with Serato if Pioneer really. This is why I want to know the money that we're talking about. I want to know the figures that they acquired Serato for, because I think it will give an indication of, like, yeah, they're not going to spend that much money to shelf a product.
Yeah, yeah.
But what could potentially happen is Serato get shelved and Record Box get steamrolled through.
Well,
and gets the big push.
That's what Apple did to Beats by Dre, innit? They acquired Beats by Dre, completely just shelved them, and then they pushed ahead with their own headphones, innit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's slightly different because actually I think the Apple acquisition of Beats wasn't specifically for the headphones.
Mm.
Beats, the same company, developed a streaming software.
Okay.
And that was what Apple was interested in, which is why Apple Music
mm.
changed from what it was into then becoming the streaming thing. So I think the Beats by Dre streaming platform was then merged into Apple's iTunes. That's what it was called. It was merged into iTunes to then create like Apple Music.
I think
that's what the case. That's what I remember reading about it anyway, was like the main part wasn't to do with the headphones. But are right. The headphones have definitely been pushed to the side, and Apple's headphone product, like whether they use the same technology or not, I'm not sure. But Apple's headphone product have been streamlined now since the Beats acquisition. But it's a danger. It could happen to Serato, I think. Like Pioneer are now like, now we own them, so let's not make them number one. Let's push Record Box through.
Yeah. I really just hope that they don't try and overcomplicate things as well. Because Serato is a powerful software, but it's really simple to use. Whereas I feel like Rekordbox, there's too much going on.
Right.
Like there's so much going on. Yeah, there's a lot of library management and all this stuff, but there's just way too much going on. And it just takes so long. So when you're doing USBs to export to USBs and stuff like that, like everything, I feel like the Rekordbox software is just too heavy. Whereas Serato is a lot lighter and it just performs better. But right. if they're gonna try and merge the two, I don't even know. Like I need to talk to Serato. I need to do some sort of like whatever they're doing, some sort of testing. I need to know what they're gonna do. Like it's actually bugging me because I need to.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm gonna actually, as soon as we're done here, I'm gonna message Blakey and lock him in for a pod very soon once he's got the details so we can chat about it. Yeah. I mean, another potential scenario is, like you say, they merged the two softwares. Or it could be that Pioneer have acquired Serato not to shelve it, but actually to make Record Box better.
What, to take the technology of Serato?
Absolutely. Imagine taking the frame of Serato, now merging Record Box with Serato so that they have the stems, so that they have everything that Serato has now within Record Box. But now it's a joint thing. So Serato Box, for example, now we've got that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So, and also I think a lot of DJs like the library management of Record Box, so they could probably, because people have been screaming for new features in Serato for so long around library. So then all the Record Box, because everyone says, oh, Record Box has got this, Record Box has got that. But yeah, probably they can now bring that technology of this the library management over to Serato. Or what they'll end up doing is just making a brand new software with them both the technology,
the best parts of both, some hybrid new DJ software. The only thing is, I feel like it's an exciting prospect, but it's also quite dangerous when one company has the monopoly. I feel like Serato being a separate entity to Pioneer has kept Pioneer on their toes.
And
similarly with Record Box doing what it's doing, it's kept Serato on their toes. No one's got complacent. Everyone's pushing for the best software for the DJs and the new DJs as well. Do you know what I mean? Like being like not overcomplicating things, making it easy for new people to come in and start to use. But for people like us, it's got everything we need. And the boundaries are constantly being pushed and pushed and pushed, because I feel like it's there's not a lot Although I think Serato's leading the way, there's not a lot in it between Serato and Rekordbox. Yeah. If can you use Rekordbox with a laptop?
Yeah.
You can use it the same way I use Serato. I could download Rekordbox in it. Okay, cool. I didn't know that. I thought it was just like a management system you then put onto.
No. So that's what Serato DJs use it for. So obviously they'll do all their stuff on Serato. They'll DJ with it with their laptop. But then if they want to use USBs for like a backup or anything, they'll move their library from Serato over to Rekordbox and then export it onto the USBs. That's how a Serato DJ would use Rekordbox. But then obviously there are DJs that there are DJs that would just purely just use the Rekordbox software. Now
from a laptop,
yeah. Right. Now I've used both. And I'm obviously a Serato guy. I don't really like the Rekordbox software. I like the USB. Well, there's no other way to use USBs on CDJs anyway, so you have to use Rekordbox. That functionality is fine, but the exporting process, say for example, you've got like 10,000 tracks and you've got to export it to a USB. If you haven't got like a USB-C, because if you see, I'll show you here, but I've got a USB that's... USB-C on one end and then the USB
that's it,
USB-A on the other end.
Yeah.
So basically when I go export my music, I'll use the USB-C end because it's a lot faster. Then obviously when I go DJ, I'll put the normal one into the CDJ.
Right, so
if you haven't got these USB-C, it takes so long. I've had to leave my laptop on overnight. To export music over. It just takes so long. I don't even know why.
Right, yeah.
But that's the only thing. But obviously, once you've done the first 10,000 tracks, all it is just updating afterwards, isn't it?
But
that's why I don't really like the software. And I just feel like there's too much going on. There's too much to look at. Right. Like with me, I like to just obviously see what two songs I'm playing and my library, and that's it. I don't want to see all this mad stuff. Too much going on.
Yeah.
I don't know what this software... I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it could potentially be dangerous in a sense that they've removed the competition.
Yeah.
Like now they own Serato, like there's no competition there. The two top spots are now owned by Pioneer. So it's like if they merge it, whatever. But it also means like monopolizing something, it means okay, cool. Now we'll shut out all other manufacturers. So anyone else that makes a controller, now you can't make a Serato compatible controller. You can't do that because that's our thing. So now you can only use Serato with Pioneer controllers. Now that's cool because Pioneer are a solid brand. When it comes to DJ gear, in my humble opinion, apart from turntables, Pioneer make the best equipment. Across the board, like the standard club stuff, any club worth their salt, you're turning up and there's a Pioneer mixer there and CDJs. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, it's very, very clear Pioneer are a market leader when it comes to DJ stuff, and their equipment for the most part, in my experience, survives the test of time.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's a good company for Serato to be paired with, do you know what I mean? Suddenly, if we're all Serato users and Pioneer aren't letting anyone else build Serato controllers, are we going to see the price of controllers creeping up? Because now the price of a CDJ 3000 is wild, bro. You can buy a small car for the same price as that. You know what I mean? I'm not even joking now. Now, if you want a new mixer, if you want an A9 and two CDJ 3000s, you're looking at actually quite a semi-decent small car now. Do you know what I mean? Like
that's a house deposit for some people, man.
Right. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, is that the direction we're now going to go with controllers? Are the entry-level controllers now suddenly going to triple in price? Because if you want to use Serato, you have to use a Pioneer product. If there's no one else competing, what's going to stop them putting the price up? If you look around in life, just in general, the price of everything is going up just because companies can.
Yeah.
Companies are making billions in profit just by putting their prices up £4 or £5 per product. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, that's where I think it's dangerous territory, because it's like if Pioneer hold the market share of everything and there's no competition, then they could just be like, fuck you guys. It's now £4,000 per controller instead of two. I don't actually know what the price of a controller is. I haven't bought one, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they could just double it because they feel like it.
But that could lead into not many people being able to that could lead to, you know, obviously the barrier to entry for DJing is so low now. It's so cheap to get a controller. Do you reckon if they put the price up, not that many people will, do you know what I mean? There won't be that many new DJs or just random DJs that feel, oh, do you know what? I fancy this DJ thing.
Well,
it could lower that.
No, I don't think it will. But what I think the knock-on effect of that, like the, what do we call it? Like the ripple effect of that happening, it could trickle down to a point of now entry-level DJs are no longer using Pioneer software. Because I want to start DJing now, but you know what? This controller's £4,000. The software's £200 a month to subscribe. But I can't afford this. But I really want to be a DJ because Instagram. Do you know what I mean? Or actually, not even the ones that want to do it because of Instagram. Some guys just love music and they want to DJ. But you know what?
Yeah.
They can't afford £5,000 on their first setup. So now I'm going to get a Numark mixer, Numark controller. But you know what Numark works with? It works with Virtual DJ.
Yeah.
Now I'm using Virtual DJ and a Numark mixer, and I've actually just secured myself a job in a club.
Yeah.
So now I'm turning up with the tiny little controller. I'm Virtual DJ on a £150 laptop, and now I'm doing a club job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And what that's now done is not only already is the DJing world skillless, and by that I mean you don't need to be a good DJ to get a club job. Anyone can get a club job these days.
Yep.
Well, now you don't even need the good equipment. You can literally turn up with the Fisher Price stuff. Do you know what I mean? And then, and it's like, because they can't, they're forced to, because they can't afford the Pioneer stuff. So now you've got this, the cheaper, unreliable stuff that's not meant to be used for 5-6 hours in a row. And it just devalues the skill set of DJing even more. And I'm aware that's a very, very extreme scenario. Like, that's like a worst case scenario. But
I guess,
it could happen.
So what's going to happen? So this is another thing we need to talk about. What's going to happen with our current licenses? Because obviously I bought Serato 6-7 years ago. I bought it for £60 when they had a sale on. And ever since I bought that license, every single update I get for free now. But now, because they've been acquired by Pioneer, who solely just run on a subscription based, is there going to be a new kind of payment system now that we need to pay again, or do we need to start paying monthly for it?
I would imagine so. Yeah. I would imagine that any of those type of licenses, like if you bought a lifetime license or whatever, if they merge it into Rekordbox and they create Serato Box, and that's the new software, which we would probably consider to be like Serato 4.0 or whatever.
Yeah.
It would be a completely new thing. It would be, excuse the pun, start from scratch. And boom, now everyone has to pay. That's something that, like, Ableton, for example, the production software, they do a similar thing. Every time they release a new version of Ableton, you have to buy it. I was on Ableton 8 for the longest time until it wasn't compatible with the operating system. And then I had to pay for Ableton 10 for a whole new, brand new, I had to pay the whole amount, the whole license for the whole software. A couple hundred quid for the new software, even though I had Ableton, the other Ableton, but they made it obsolete because they made it not functional with the new operating system. So I think that will be the case. Eventually, the Serato that we're using, as it has historically, will become non-compatible with whatever operating system comes in 2-3 years' time. And then the launch of Pioneer Rekordbox Serato hybrid software comes, and now everybody has to pay for a new license if you want to use this new thing.
Interesting. I wonder if you just don't bother upgrading at all, you can still, I wonder if they'll shut off the old Serato. So obviously the Serato that we're using now, say if they create, Serato Box, you just don't upgrade, you just have it still downloaded on your computer, can you still use it?
Well, yes, that theoretically could happen. For example, do you remember Scratch Live?
I remember it, but I didn't use it. But I still see DJs using it now, to be fair.
Yeah, so that, for example, is obsolete and has been probably for about 4 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong. Someone can fact check me on that. But I think probably about 4 years ago, Serato said, Scratch Live is not getting any more updates. Everybody is moving on to DJ Pro now. Everyone's moving on to Serato DJ. And bro, I was so pissed off. I'm very habitual, so I don't like change.
Yeah.
Scratch Live was my happy place. You know what I mean? Like, that's my comfort zone, man. Like, I love Scratch Live. It's even just down to the fact that the colors were different on DJ. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it because I'm used to... It's so strange, yeah. Like, when I play the song, obviously, I have it marked so that the color changes. Mm-hmm. And when I skim over the library, my eyes, I've trained my eyes to not see the green songs. So on on Scratch Live, if you played them, they went green.
When
I'm looking through the library now, just out of habit and over time, I never ever saw the green songs. My eyes would just skip over them like they weren't there.
Yeah.
Bruv, it was chaos when it changed to blue. Changed to Serato DJ, and now the green ones go blue. Like, you're changing years of conditioning just with one color.
One color, yeah.
And even like, even down to stuff like the cue points. Scratch Live, if you put the first cue point in, it goes red. Second cue point, it goes yellow. Third cue point, it goes green. Now it's like, what is it? Orange, something, and blue. I can't remember the order, but even that kind, that type of change, killed me, brother. Like, it frustrated me so much. But because of the operating system and because they weren't updating Scratch Live, I moved to Serato DJ. And now here we are, 4 years later, Serato DJ is my happy place. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've built a home and I'm good. I'm happy. Yeah. I'm comfortable. So
now you got to change again. Now you got to change again.
And now potentially I'm going to have to move on to Serato Box and start paying £200 a month. So, but I mean, I don't know. I'm speculating on all of this, of course. But
yeah, we don't know what's going to happen in it. But I think me personally, obviously, I'm for all this new technology and stuff like that. So I'm going to be fully on testing it, using it, whatever. But I might be one of them people that still stays on Serato Pro, that the one that's downloaded on my computer, because what they'll end up doing to try and disable it is, because you know you have to log in to get your plugins and obviously log in
for your
your license. I think there's ways about it, because you can still, so if I use my S9, I don't need to be logged in for the license, because it's already got Serato DJ Pro built into it. So I think that's how you can get around it. But if you want to use like a new the new A9, you'll have to get the new Serato box.
Well, already with the A9, you have to be on Serato 3.0.
Oh, there you go then. Yeah.
Serato 2. Anything is non-compatible with the A9.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it will work moving forwards. Like, I don't think they'll suddenly be like, okay, well, anyone using a Nexus 2 or anyone using an S7, S11, S9, etc., you lot now have to upgrade. I think it will be when the A10 comes.
Yeah.
That will be, this is compatible with Serato Box.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Serato DJ compatible. This is Serato Box compatible. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, now you have to upgrade to the Serato Box software. But I also think if they do it, they have to put a hook in there. They have to put something that makes us want to change.
Yeah.
Like for example, looking at the DJ City Beatport merger, Beatport allowed, like, DJ City could have done this. But Beatport allow you to stream the songs and their online, the access, is it Beatport?
Beat Source.
That's what I'm talking about. Beat Source allow you to stream the songs, and they allow you to instantly access every song ever made by any human ever, just at the search function. DJ City could have done that.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They gave it to Beat Source, and that was the hook. That was what pulled a lot of people over from DJ City. And then gradually DJ City, I think, started stepping back on what they were uploading, and now they're giving out less and less and less to get people over to Beat Source. It's not an overnight thing. But the hooks are there. The music's at BeatSource. The playlists and stuff are at BeatSource. The fact that you can access any song as long as you've got Wi-Fi, that's at BeatSource. Now you can do that shit offline. That's all on BeatSource. Whereas DJ City is just a folder of music.
Yeah.
And it's not even all the new slappy stuff either. Do you know what I mean? It's just whatever they're just posting up. So I think that's what it might look like as a merger. And I predict that it will have a more refined version of Stems. And I think the real hook will be some kind of insane library management system that they have, where it's like, you can do this with your library. Same way Serato announced with their smart crates, it'll be like super smart crates. It won't be called that because it's a really terrible name, but do you know what I mean? Like, it will be something library based, I think, because Serato, as far as I'm aware, in my opinion anyway, Serato have reached the pinnacle of what you can do with music. Like, what other feature can they possibly add to Serato right now to make it, to give us more? What can they do?
That's true. There's so many people that are asking for so many new features, and I think that Serato just, they can't.
But what features though? I can't even think of how they could make it better.
So people want, so many people say it to me, people want to be able to search your crates.
Yeah, so that's a library function, but I'm talking about specifically, I'm playing a song out live. Now I can remove the instrumental. Now I can loop one particular word, and inside the software, I can also add all the effects that I want and echo it and reverb it and all of this and that. Like, what else can Serato add? There's nothing I can possibly think of that anybody needs from Serato.
Yeah, very true, very true, very true. They probably just got to a point where they're like, we need to do something new.
But yeah, and this is what I'm talking about. The Serato Record Box integration could be here's what we're going to do with your library. And now suddenly me and you are looking at it like, well, we were going to stay on Serato DJ because we're happy here. But you know what? That's actually a very sick library function.
Yeah, do you know what it is as well? It could be so sick because obviously I was reading up the other day because Record Box have a cloud library management software. So say, for example, you could manage your library on your phone. So say, for example, you want to update, I don't know, some tags, your genres, your years or whatever, and you're sat on a bus for like, I don't know, half an hour. You can just do that and it'll sync with your laptop. Something simple like that, that would move me over, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. That could be incorporated into Serato, all this library stuff. Yeah, there's so much stuff that could be brought over from Rekordbox that all these Serato users have wanted for so many years.
You know, Serato did try. I never actually saw anyone, I never saw anyone using it, but Serato did try an iPad app.
Yeah.
That had cue points and stuff, and you could, it was effectively a wireless controller, but I never ever saw anyone use it. Don't judge me. I had a Kindle, so I never had an iPad. I never had an iPad. I had a Kindle, so it wasn't possible. But I don't think they ever put it onto phones. That would be something that I messed with if I was able. And I mean, this is a very niche need. This isn't something that like resident DJs would necessarily need, but just for example, I thought about this the other day. I did a show with RD. We were doing a festival, and part of the show, I have to come out from behind the decks, and basically I have to control half the crowd. We split the crowd in half, and I've got to do interaction with half, and he does interaction with the other half, and then we drop a particular song based around that interaction. If I had a controller on my phone so I could carry this with me to the front of the stage, bang, trigger the song. Game changer. And because now what happens at the moment is I now have to run back from the front of the stage to hit the button on time, and then the song starts. And although it's fine, like no one thinks, oh, he's running, like it would just make everything that moment so much better. Now I'm aware Pioneer aren't going to develop that whole app and roll it out just so that I can push play from the front of a stage. I know this, but I'm just giving an example of how I could use that feature and why that would be very useful. That would make me change. Just that simple thing. If they said, look, we've got a new app that you can trigger your cue points and you can do press play from da 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 da, and we're sorting out your library with this. Okay, cool. Take my money.
Yeah. Yeah. They Yeah, honestly, like you said, there's going to have to be a hook. And I think it is going to be the library management thing, man. So many DJs have been screaming it for so long.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be needed. Well, I'm going to have to shout Serato Box, man.
Serato. Imagine we've named it, or we've already named it now. Like, they can't even name their software Serato Box because we've got proof that we said it first. But yeah, it is interesting. But like I said, I think my biggest concern is the market share that they will now have.
Yeah.
Because it could just ruin everything. I love to think that their innovation and that is with DJs at the forefront of their mind.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is a business.
Hang on, one second. Someone's just at my front door. Hang on. I got
all right, cool.
Two seconds.
So here's the silent part of the podcast. And I'll be honest, I'm just talking now because he's left the room and I absolutely cannot be bothered to find this part of the podcast and edit out the silent bit. So I'm just going to talk for a second. Let us know on the socials and stuff. When you guys are listening to this, hit us up on our DMs or comments or whatever. Get in contact because I'm actually interested to know if anyone else has any speculation about what could potentially happen with the Serato Pioneer merger, the direction it's all going, what your thoughts might be, etc., etc., and where you think, do you think it's a good thing for the software? Do you think it's a bad thing? One person owning everything, or is it good? And he's back in the room. I was just talking because I couldn't be bothered to find the silent part of the podcast and edit it out.
That's fine. I've been waiting for these trainers to get delivered all day.
Okay. Right. So I'm going to create another beautiful segue here. The potential problems, like I mentioned, of Pioneer getting this whole market share mean that entry-level DJs will be forced to use... You know where this is going, innit? Do you like how I'm doing this, bro? I'm good at this, innit? I don't care. I'm good at this job. So entry-level DJs are going to be forced to use, like, how I'm going to put it politely, what I consider to be less professional controllers, non-professional controllers. They're going to use hobby controllers and, like, that tiny little Numark one with the tiny little 50p size platters and stuff like that. Like, for example... Ice Spice's DJ at, was it at Wireless? It was, yeah, what is that? What is that one?
This is the Numark Party Mix 1. I've got Numark Party Mix 1 and 2, but this is the one.
I'm not going to judge you right now. I'm just going to assume that you own this controller for research purposes.
Research and YouTube purposes, yes.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, Ice Spice's DJ at Wireless was spotted using... the smallest DJ controller I think I have ever seen in my life. My first impression when I saw the photo was, and shout out to Rob Percy as well. That's who I saw post it up. Yeah, so big up to Rob Percy. My first impression when I saw this controller was, you can probably get that from Argos for about $24.99. that's what it looked like, and he is on a big boy stage, main stage of Wireless, with that controller. His Tech Rider, for example, would be an XLR lead.
Nah, it wouldn't.
No, would it not even? Would it be a quarter inch jack? Just a quarter inch jack?
Literally, no. It's
what's on the back?
RCA. It's no this. Do you know what this?
The one, normal what? The normal phone. Just to imagine, just a one tiny headphone output.
Yeah, literally it is. So this one just has the main. You see here, it's the main is the same size as the headphone. So it's
that's
gonna be
a tiny headphone jack.
So that's so they'd need an aux to RCA to go into the mixer that's on the stage, and then the one.
There wasn't a mixer on the stage.
So what the hell did he plug into then?
The lead, that's what I'm saying. So I'll just quickly explain. When you do festival shows, each act has the technical rider. So for example, with me, I send off the technical rider. I have three CDJs and a Nexus 2, a 900 Nexus 2. The three CDJs are there. I use two, and I've always got one CDJ on the side just in case. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's my emergency CDJ in case one of the other two CDJs shit the bed and die.
Yeah.
I have it there so that I can carry on the show without having to worry about people running on stage to fix problems. That's why I have three CDJs before anyone starts shouting at me, why have you got three when you're only using two? That's my tech rider. And then I also have the two wedges, which are the speakers either side, a mic stand and a wireless mic. That is my tech rider. Mm-hmm. That is put onto a platform backstage. Mm-hmm. And set up while the act before us is on stage.
Yeah.
And in that platform, when the act before us finishes, their platform is wheeled off the stage and my platform is wheeled on the stage, put into position, plugged into the main system, which is the sound guys at the side. So my mixer goes on cables out to the side of the stage which no one can see. And that's where the sound guys are. They have their huge control desk, which controls the thing. So iSpice's DJ will have his, the platforms are called risers. So he'll have his riser, which will have a table the right height, and there'll be a lead with the little headphone thing.
Okay.
And that'll be it. He will put his little controller on, plug his little headphone lead in, and that lead will go off the riser across the stage to the sound guys. That will be it, his lead.
That's crazy.
So his tech rider will be a tiny headphone jack lead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
That's it. Because he would have probably brought that controller with him 100%.
Yeah,
definitely. That's crazy. That's crazy. But it also shows, man. I'm sorry, but it shows you don't need to spend a lot of equipment to get places. Come on, man. That controller, I think that's £70.
£24.99 in Argos.
I think I got this one was 70 and the other one was 89. You don't need to spend that much money on DJ equipment, but do you know what it is? They could have at least tried a controller, a DDJ 1000 SRT or something.
Okay, here's the thing. I want to play devil's advocate for a minute. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need more.
I agree.
Essentially, all he's doing, so I don't want to minimalize. I don't want to minimalize is the right word. I don't want to minimalize my job because I don't want to appear replaceable. But when I do shows with RD, I don't need to have CDJs there.
Yeah.
I don't need a 900 Nexus 2. That's got four channels. Mm-hmm. I use three channels, but one of them's for sound effects, for explosions and stuff like that when I bomb the last of the songs. Do you know what I mean? I don't need that. If it was a two-channel mixer, I could just assign the sound effects to the master output.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I only need a two-channel mixer. Mm-hmm. And really, I'm not mixing. I don't mix RD's songs.
Yeah.
The closest they ever are is one song will end and I will immediately start the next song. So there's no talking space in between the two. Mm-hmm. So that's fluid. But realistically, what I could do is just program the two in Ableton and make them one file so that it just runs fluidly. I've done that before with other live shows because that's how, as a tour DJ, these are the things that you do to make things run smoother and you can eradicate the even slight possibility of any human error whatsoever. Do you know what I mean? With Potter's shows, Potter Papers Tour, for example, there was a couple of quite intricate, the timing on the transitions had to be perfect.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the way Potter recorded a lot of his early stuff, it wasn't, the best way to describe it, it wasn't DJ friendly.
The lyrics
dropped on the first beat. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So it's like impossible to get that timing with an artist if you're not telepathic. So those kind of songs, I would program them together with the musical director, the producer. We would sit together and program how they work. Then we would render those two songs together and that is one MP3 file. Okay. So I press play and two songs go off of that. Do you know what I mean? We run through one song and automatically the next one. So I'm just explaining this. I know I'm over-explaining it, but I'm explaining just to show I don't need the CDJs. I can just push play and da-da-da-da-da. So does he need a more complicated tech rider? If that's what he's happy with, and if that's what he's comfortable using, and he's not doing any kind of mad performance on the stage. It's just buttons. He just needs to press play at the right time.
Yeah, I guess.
So does he need more? I did a show, actually, for example, I did a show with RD where I think I might have explained it before. I was using a button pad. I didn't even use CDJs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to push. There was one button that I had to push throughout the whole show every time I wanted a song to launch. And that was because we had video synced up as well.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
We had a big video wall. We had huge video production. And I, to make sure that the song and the video were launched on time, I just had to push a button. And for those kind of shows, brother, I've got to put my ego to the side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't be like, well, you know what? I'm a DJ. I need to use decks. I need to use a mixer. Like, what do you think? I am just a button pusher. No, because in that instance, I am just a button pusher. I don't need to be a DJ to do that. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, and as it happens on that stage, I actually made them set up CD. I still put CDJs in a mixer on my rider because I wanted the aesthetics there. I didn't I didn't want it to be that moment where I'm just stood with a button pad. I wanted it to at least look
the part. If you would have just had the button pad, you would have got rinsed on Twitter. Like,
I mean, maybe so. But you know what? Like, I'm in front of 50,000 people, so I'll take one big red button in the middle of a table if I have to.
It's just.
I think it's an interesting argument. I definitely feel like the purists, the I only play on vinyl DJs are the ones that are really, really gonna rinse it, because ultimately, like. It might be because I have an understanding of it from that side of the job. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I do festival shows and I understand, like, with certain artists and certain jobs, you don't need to be there mixing everything and doing all the fancy stuff, because I don't do that. When Ardy's on stage, I don't do anything fancy.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not needed to. I'm not the performer at that point. So I think, personally, although it is a little bit comedic that he's got the $24.99 Argos controller, I do look at it and think, like, yes, it looks funny because I'm a DJ and because I love turntables and because I love this craft. Do you know what I mean? But, like, I don't look at it and think, I can't believe it. I'm so upset about this. Like, this is disgusting. How can they allow this to happen? I don't care.
Yeah, but it's that the people that are saying it's disgusting, they're normally like the haters, isn't it? Like, they spent loads of money on their equipment and they're not on that big stage like they are. Like,
yeah, that's precisely. What it is, isn't it? What are your thoughts on it, him using the controller? Are you the same as me, or are you a bit like, well, he could have at least put some effort in?
I thought, do you know what? Aesthetics wise, I would have just been like, why couldn't you just have at least a professional controller? But like you said, right, if he's comfortable, because it's like DJs take their controllers to clubs all the time, innit, because they're comfortable. They're not, you never know. Ice Spice's DJ could have just been called up the week before. You don't know, innit, like that guy, Ice Spice could have probably bought him that controller, but look, here, figure this out. And that's it. You don't know the situation. Like, that could have been her brother. Do you know what I mean? She probably wasn't even looking for a DJ. She was probably like, look, I need someone cheap to just play some music. Here's this controller that I probably have underneath my bed, whatever. Figure this out. Did a little rehearsal in their bedroom, or whatever. I don't know. I don't know, because obviously when you do stuff with Ardy, you go studio and you go rehearse it properly.
Yeah, but we go to like a proper rehearsal room and we spend like 2 or 3 days sorting out like a proper
routine.
Everything, every element of the set.
Yeah,
we every tiny specific detail we go through and we time everything and we make sure everything is perfect. Yeah. So,
but like they could have probably been like, you know what, let's just put this quickly together, man. Like, I don't know. Obviously, it could be, but, huge.
Yeah, but even if not, even if it's a case of, even if they're spending a week rehearsing, the equipment doesn't really matter because the show is not DJ based. The only people talking about what the DJ is using. It's DJs.
It is.
Do you know what I mean? I haven't seen one single fan in the crowd going, well, you know, Ice Spice's performance would have been way, way, way better if her DJ was using CDJs.
No one's
saying it.
It's just the same argument of like, oh, DJ shouldn't be using controllers in clubs, innit? Like, you should learn it's just DJs being DJs, isn't it? Like there's always something to argue about. But I'll tell you one thing that no one can argue about in the next couple of months: what software is better, Serato or Rekordbox? Because that argument's finished now. That argument's really finished. But do you know what I mean? But the argument of controllers in a club, the argument between the purest vinyl people and the digital age, that's gonna carry on for the rest of time, right? This is always gonna happen. Like DJs putting small controllers on £6,000 equipment, it's gonna happen. It's always gonna happen, isn't it?
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, putting the $24.99 Argus controller on top of the A9, on top of the CDJ 3000s. Someone's gonna have a flipping aneurysm if they see that.
Do you know what the maddest thing? Obviously, I don't want to carry on this conversation for too long. But I think the maddest thing I've seen, is when DJs take a controller to Pirate Studios, and then put it on top of the decks. But the maddest one is when they put like a 1000 SRT. It's the exact same.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, you're going to Pirate Studios. Why don't you just learn I feel like Pirate Studios is a great place to learn about CDJs. You're not in front of anyone. You just go in there to kind of, the equipment's there for you to practice on, really.
Yeah, you obviously didn't hear Stylo's story about Pirate Studios then.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. The rat in it.
grimy. They need to fix up. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm one of them guys that I know what I like. When I'm DJing my own DJ sets, mm-hmm. where possible, I will use turntables. Technics 1210s all the way where possible, every time. That's my preference because that's what I love to use. Yes. Other DJs, they use a $24.99 controller from Argos. And you know what? Some of those DJs are better than me.
Do you know what I mean?
Like there are guys out there that can use controllers and they can do things in like mental ways that I can't even begin to explain. They can do mad stuff. But the thing is, and I've said this many, many times on the pod, having the controller and all of these functions and all of these buttons, it makes it easy to DJ.
But
it doesn't make it easy to be a good DJ. And that's the difference. It's the people that are putting, doesn't matter what equipment you're using. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're a builder, and you need to put a nail into a wall, if you use a hammer, cool, the nail's going in. If you use a boot, you can still put the nail into the wall. As long as the nail goes into the wall, it doesn't matter if you use a hammer or a boot. Doesn't matter. But the fact is, get the nail into the wall.
That's
the analogy there. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, as long as you're doing the work and actually like doing a good job as a DJ, I don't think it matters what equipment you're using. No, and I don't think it matters what stage. And honestly, Ice Spice's DJ, he finishes the set, he unplugs his little thing and he puts his controller straight into the bag and he puts his bag on his back and walks off the stage. 60 seconds later, he's off stage. I'm still there 5 minutes later packing all my shit up, bro. Do you know what I mean? My laptop, the controller, like I've got the DDJ 1000 SP, whatever it's called. I'm packing that up. I've got a laptop stand and the stand for my buttons. And it's like, bro, 5 minutes later, I'm wrapping everything up into my bag. So you know what? This guy's winning because he's already in the dressing room drinking. And I'm still on stage while all the crowd stood there watching me pack up my shit. So, and the other thing is, Ice Spice is busy. They're doing airports. He's getting straight through the airports. Bro, I've got to get my controller out of the bag. I've got to get the laptop out of the bag. I've got like, he's just boop, boop. Job done, safe. Like it's long, so he's in my opinion, if he's doing his job properly, it doesn't matter what he's using, and he's doing it smart.
As long as music's being played, the crowd are happy.
That's it. Everyone's good, and the festival crowd does not care. No one cares. He could be doing it off of his phone on an auxiliary lead. No one gives a shit. So I think it's a matter of time till someone does that anyway. So there we have it. The headline today, Pioneer have bought Serato. That's today's headline. And we are going to get back. I'm going to try to get Blakey on. We're going to get back with another episode that has more details about the acquisition, etc. as soon as they come. I'm going to make sure Blakey sits down with us and we have the conversation about it. So yeah, it's another one. CB, DJ Double, at Talkover Pod on all of the socials, them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, until next week, we're out.
Peace.